Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Award-winning author, renowned speaker, PhD therapist, and mood adjuster extraordinaire, welcome to the Sandy Brewer Show.
Hi, welcome to the Sandy Brewer Show. I'm Dr. Sandy Brewer, and I'm so delighted to be here with you today and every Thursday, live from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, on the truly innovative Transformation Talk Radio Network and the equally innovative Stereo WBLQ 1230, Westerly, Rhode Island. When you have a chance, visit me at my website, sandybrewer.com, and while you're there, sign up for my inspirational thought for the week. It's easy, it's free, it's uplifting, it's a good thing. In the 35 years that I've been a speaker and a counselor in private practice, I've had the great, great privilege of using my skills and intuitive insights to help people to get to the heart of whatever's happening in their lives. Here at the Sandy Brewer Show, it's all about you. So I'd love to put those insights to work for you today. Our mics are always open as we get to the heart of what matters in your life. No question or subject is off limits. Give me a call. 800-930-2819. Or you can go to transformationtalkradio.com and ask a question in the instant feedback box. And you can send us emails anytime during the week. And because life is about giving and receiving, we have a gift for you today. The first two callers or emailers with questions we can use on the air will receive an autographed copy of my book, Pursuit of Light, An Extraordinary Journey. It's a compelling, inspirational memoir that's filled with empowering personal tools that can help change your life today. Pursuit of Light was an Amazon.com bestseller and the winner of 3 literary awards. We're really happy about that. And it's our thank you to you for giving us a call today. 800-930-2819. And with me on air today is my partner in all things genuinely wonderful, my husband, John Brewer. Hi, John.
Hey, Sandy. How you doing?
I thought you were going to do an Ed McMahon on us. I'm great, honey. Thanks.
Good. Good to be here.
You know, right before we went on air, I came across this little news blurb. I put news in kind of quotes because I'm not sure what the news of it is, but I thought it was interesting, where televangelist Pat Robertson claims it's the wife's job to keep men faithful. What do you think about that?
I think it's delusional.
Delusional, is that what you said? Yeah.
I think he forgets that men have a power of choice, too. They can decide.
I love you for that. That's great.
It's not a woman's job to keep a man from misbehaving. It's up to him to decide what he wants to do and honor himself and his bride, too.
Exactly. And one of the things I was sure about when I looked at that, besides incredulity, is I was pretty sure it would never work in our household. So.
Not a chance.
Good.
And what universe is he from? Anyway, that's another story. Say, I read something the other day, and I thought it was really interesting, following up a little bit on what we talked about previously on the show about raising adult children. And here is what the blurb said. A Dean's List senior at the University of Cincinnati went to court to protect herself from two stalkers interestingly enough, her mother and her father, who, she said, had been in a sublime exploration or expression of paranoia, meddled in her life by putting tracking devices on her computer and telephone and showing up unannounced on her campus, which incidentally was 600 miles from their home, and telling officials that she was promiscuous and mentally unbalanced.
Yeah. It's sort of it's if the shoe fits thing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And the judge exercised what I consider to be some wisdom of Solomon, and he said to parents, stay away. Let her be.
Exactly. So when we're talking about parenting, the show you were referring to is when we were talking about parenting adult children, and that we have to make that transition with them into the next state of relationship. Clearly, we have an extreme example here of people who didn't quite get that part.
They missed our curriculum, apparently.
It reminds me of a quote I read a long time ago. A lot of parents will do anything for their kids except let them be themselves. So that's a transition we all have to go through. And I think that place, even though that's obviously an extreme example, honey, but I think that place of needing to always control and not being able to surrender and to trust our children as they grow older and understand that they have adult rights now. They have the rights to make choices. They have the rights to self-direct. We can still give them information, but we are not the decider anymore. Our choice has to be to give them the information, to intervene if they're really, really, really in some kind of danger, but otherwise to begin to trust that we have supported them in laying a foundation for their well-being, and now it's their job to move that ball forward. And so that place of being able to engage and let go of control really leads us a little bit into today's what we wanted to talk about for a few minutes today, which is what do you do? How do you handle it when you come into kind of a preset family, a blended family? We usually think of when both newlyweds bring children or into the relationship. But if you're the step parent and you're not bringing children into the relationship, you actually have to step into a group that already has, whether they're healthy or unhealthy, ways of relating. It's already set. So if you're the person who has to come in, if you're the blendee instead of the blender, if you're the one who has to come in and find a way to make space for you in that environment, what do you do? How do you do it? And John, that fell to you many years ago when you and I got married. You did not have children, but I had three children. Only one of them was still at home, but still there were three children in the picture. How did you handle that? How did you feel about that?
Well, first of all, I think as you talked about two families coming together, I was really fortunate in that I didn't bring kids with me because that would, I think, have multiplied the environment situations dramatically. But it was really interesting me coming into this, to being the blendee. Anyway, part of the mixology of it anyway. In that there were some patterns that were preset, and there was a discipline a format that you handled with Nick when he was young.
And who is our youngest son?
Yes, and thank you. And so it was a new environment for me, and I brought with me my old ideas about discipline. And I have to admit that I was...
What were those ideas, honey?
Well, they had to behave properly. They had to do what I wanted them to do. That was kind of dark ages things. But that was my perception of things. And if you said this had to be done, there wasn't really any room for discussion. And what I found was it really challenged my sense of versatility, because at that point I didn't have a whole lot compared to now. especially, but versatility in saying, okay, how can we live in an environment where there's not friction, there's not disharmony, there's no discomfort? And it takes a lot of effort on an adult's part, just not to mention anything about the kids, because they're a little bit less aware of versatility than an adult is supposed to be. But to be able to mix in and to fill in with patience, with kindness, and with an understanding that some of the things that you face with kids are really a reflection on yourself, on me, as from as far as having a judgment about how certain things need to be done.
You know, one of the things I really hear you, John, and appreciate your openness with this subject. One of the things that I was aware of all through the years, but even right from the get-go, was I don't know that I've ever seen anyone do the journey of moving into the role of a step parent actually with greater grace than you. That doesn't mean you didn't have some places where you were wanting to butt heads, but you never butt heads with anger. You had places where it was not easy to adjust because of what you said, what we talked about. When you come into a group of people who already have established a way of communication, a way of reading each other, and a way of accomplishing certain goals, and that doesn't, and you don't know where you, they don't necessarily conform to if you had been there from the get-go, that is a huge shift that is required. And then the place where we all have to learn through consciousness, through self-awareness, that it doesn't mean we shouldn't set boundaries, and it certainly doesn't mean we shouldn't work things through with each other as the primary partners, but it does mean that when we get attached to a certain behavior, when we're taking it personally, when we find we are matching stubbornness with stubbornness, then usually it's a mirror to ourselves. And you were brilliant with that. We're going to get to discuss a whole bunch more on this right now. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Sandy Brewer Show, 800-930-2819. Give us a call.
I invite you to come on into the reading room and pick up a book that you'll love. It's Sandy's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light, An Extraordinary Journey. You'll find this book hard to put down, as Sandy shares the gripping story of her journey from childhood trauma to the empowered woman she is today. And like so many others, you'll find it to be one of the most inspirational books you've ever read. You'll love that it's filled with practical tools and ideas you can use to bring greater light and joy into your life. Get your copy by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often, but when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by.
These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
As anyone who has experienced cancer knows, it's a tough journey. If your loved ones are dealing with cancer, please give yourself the gift of learning about the leading-edge information and support programs offered by Vital Options, a nonprofit cancer communications organization that provides extensive information to support patients and families to better understand treatment options as well as other issues that impact anyone touched by cancer. We urge you to take advantage of this valuable resource by going to vitaloptions.org.
Hi, and welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We're so happy that you're with us, and we're happy to be with you. Give us a call, 800-930-2819. And right now, Jack is calling from Arizona. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Sandy. How are you?
How are you? I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Interesting topic.
Good.
About... I'm married, and my wife had two children, and they were 3 and 5 when we got married. And now, I mean, we've been together 10 years? Yeah, 10 years, 15 and 13.
And, whoa, that's a big it's been shift.
It's been a journey. I'm older. I'm 58. Mm-hmm. And never had kids in my previous marriages. And there's been some real trying times in that time. Nothing out of the ordinary, I don't think, but there's been some things where I had issues internally with the stepdad where I had to kind of work through it, where I felt, I don't know if I want to say uncared for, but it's almost like you want to have a competition.
Right.
And it's a tough place to be to deal with that when you feel like you're playing second fiddle to someone when you put so much into the relationship with the kids.
One of the hardest things, Jack, and my heart goes out to you because I understand it and I have compassion for it. So coming into what we said in the first segment is like that preset relationship. Everybody's already interactive in their own little roles. And then you come in. One of the hardest things is to, one, not try to fill anybody else's shoes and just be you. And then combined with that is also a thing that applies to all parenting, and that is to not need the feedback in order to be okay. So you come in and no matter what you do in a parent role, that you don't try to be anybody but Jack. And when you see that the children have complexities in how they relate, and you know, children with fathers who are also a part of their lives, there's a thing in divorce that kids go through where they're trying to still be needed and wanted and loved by both parents. And so whoever isn't the primary parent, they're going to still have that angst about needing to maybe over connect with them in order to make sure they still have a place with them. And then if you're the one who's in the home, which is what it sounds like with those kids being so little when you got married, and you're the primary person in the home, and yet they take the sense of affection and loyalty to somebody else, whether that person is really attentive or not attentive to them, that can be a bitter swill. It is swill, a bitter pill to follow. And so when you're swallowed, to be able to understand that what you give as not a father replacement for them, but you give as Jack, and then as the man, being able to mirror. It doesn't mean that you don't have the right to want some feedback, but again, we always have to remember we're the big guys, that what is it that I need the feedback to do for me that perhaps I need to do for myself? How did you work through that part, Jack?
Well, there was a point there where it was easy because their father didn't take a great interest in him for a while, where mm-hmm. I was the primary father figure, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. Now, when we got together, though, when the kids were small, I didn't want to be or try to be their father. And I think that I did a good job at saying, okay, wait a minute, I want you kids to understand something. You can call me Dad if you want, but I would prefer you call me Jack. I'm not trying to take your father's place, because they had a pretty good relationship with their father at that time. So I didn't want to try to come in and, you know, overwhelm them. And on the flip side of that, I will say this: the father was remarried, and his wife automatically wanted those kids to call her mom, and put a lot of pressure on them. So mm-hmm. I think that the kids appreciated that. Now, and as far as working through it, when the kids started to say join back up with their father, mm-hmm. obviously they looked for his love, and I almost wanted to turn away from him because I felt slighted. I felt slighted because of the fact that, I mean, at that point in time, I felt unloved, or I felt I went to a very, I don't want to say bad place, but I went to a place where I almost didn't want to have anything to do with them. And then in looking at that, I had to think, well, now, wait a minute, what direction should I go? Is that right? Is that wrong? What do I do? So I had to do a lot of personal work on myself, and I never brought it out, you know, in front of them. I never changed. I never changed my ways that I felt about them. I mean, and it's funny, as adults, you sometimes revert to being kid-like. And I mean, mm-hmm. I was hurt when they went the other direction, and I almost wanted to pull back and say, well, I'm not taking care of her. I'm not going to spend my money on her. I'm not going to.
Yeah. Let me interrupt you just for a second. Let me interrupt you just for a second, Jack, so I can throw this piece in, because I think it's a really important piece. And that places where we want to shut down, like what you're saying, that's authentic. That's really what we want to do. But the courage as adults is for us to remember that we're always responsible for our own reactions. And when we want to pull back that way, and we want to shut down, and we want to take it personally, it's because whatever's going on in today's world has connected with an old programming in us. And sometimes people will say, oh, that's not true, or whatever, you know, all the blah, blah, blahs of that. But it's always true. If I can't respond from kindness, it doesn't mean I have to agree. But if I'm going to personalize it, if I'm going to get wounded, if I'm going to get victimized, it doesn't make me wrong. But it means exactly what you ultimately discovered. I've got some homework to do. And if I'm going to be responsible externally, it has to begin with me. I have to take that external situation and understand that while I may not agree with what's going on, my attachment to my disagreement is what's making me get reactive. Pulling back is a reaction. It's a defensive mechanism. If we don't recognize those mechanisms in us, we actually can't move our own ball forward. We don't reach those transformational moments where the healing totally comes through us, and then we're able to come from love, because we're learning with us. We're learning how to trust us more. We're learning not to need the world to be that which validates us, but a place through which we express that which we are. How do you feel about what I just said?
Well, I understand 100%, because that's pretty much where I went to as far as my own thought process. Mm-hmm. But I will say, not long ago, even though I didn't need any validation, because I went through this whole thing and I knew when I came out the other side where I stood. And I knew that the kids cared about me. But there was an incident that happened a couple of weeks ago that kind of validated everything for me. I had picked Sarah. Sarah's my daughter. She's 13. And I had picked her up from a sporting event that she had went to. And she says, can we get something to eat? So we stopped at a fast food place. I was going to get her something to eat. And I can't remember what our conversation led to, but it got just a little bit, you know, deeper than a standard conversation. And she looked over at me, and she said to me, she goes, you know, Jack, sometimes I miss our talks. I said, well, sweetie, I'm always right here for you. And there's a place in life, even if there's a dad and a stepdad, I think the stepdad has to do a little more work than the dad, but if the stepdad pays attention and doesn't make it about himself, that it'll always come back to you in spades the way that you want it to. And I mean, I didn't expect that, but it sure made me feel obviously good and obviously needed in a way that she doesn't feel about her own father. And that, not that there's a competition now, but my point is there's a place for me, there's a place for him too.
Exactly.
And
Because that kind of growth that you're talking about by you know, checking out your own interaction here, that kind of growth really is the triumph of that, the high five, kind of the cosmic high five, is that if I'll just do my own homework, if I'll just adjust my attitude, life will come around full circle, and then you get the win, you get the high five, not because you need it to validate you, but just because you're open for it and you become a magnet for it, and it does do what you just said. It comes full circle. So I'm giving you a high five for all that good work, Jack. It's beautiful, and the gift of that is not only what you get to interact with the children, but what you give to them. So I totally congratulate you. I so appreciate you calling, my dear. We have to take a break. Thank you so much. You were great, and it was a good life lesson for all of us. Take good care.
Thank you, Sandy. I love your show. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Bye-bye. You're listening to The Sandy Brewer Show. We'll be right back.
If you are looking for a book that will inspire you, one that will help you smooth out those bumps in the road of your life, one that will give you practical tools for meeting everyday life challenges, then you'll want to get your own copy of Sandy Brewer's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. It is so compelling, you won't want to put it down. Order today and get a free gift of her audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing, by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by.
These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radios, where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
that nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Would you welcome an inspiring, positive, and uplifting message coming to you each week? Messages that will energize and support you as you go about your day? I do, and I hope you will too. Act today and bring a smile to your face and a lift in your step as you receive your free inspirational thought for the week. Simply ask for them by going to sandybrewer.com. Hey, and while you're there, learn more about Sandy's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. Be inspired and pass it on as you get your free thought for the week at sandybrewer.com.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. Puts the fever higher. Doesn't mean I'm
lonely. Welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. Give us a call. Our mics are open. No subject is off limits. 800-930-2819. And in Kelly Clarkson's song, What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger, I think step parenting is a real good example of that.
I'm in agreement with you on that totally.
Between you and Jack, you certainly have a broad base of amazing understanding of what the journey is and how important it is. And John, this is one of the places you had such extreme grace of not trying to fill somebody else's shoes. Always you presented to the family as John, and you stayed true to that with kindness and with grace and minimum actual frustration. But that's just a huge, huge wisdom to be able to do that. That you only tried to be John, and quite frankly, you succeeded at it beautifully.
I couldn't be anybody else.
Not successfully. Right?
There's no way in the world that I was going to step into somebody else's shoes. I just had to be in mine.
Yeah, and our situation was different because the birth father of our children actually completely dropped out of the scene and to all these years later has still never been a part of their lives and doesn't interact with them, has never seen his grandchildren, chooses not to, which is really sad. One of the things you did was you showed love to all three children. You actually have become totally their father figure by not trying to be anybody but John. But you also never tried to compensate for what they didn't have. You were there as an understanding figure, but you didn't try to overcompensate because they had a dropout father. So that's a high five to you, my dear.
Well, frankly, my heart goes out to your former husband because he missed so much in being able to see how fantastic these kids are. These adults now, how fantastic they are and what beautiful families they have. So, but I just rejoice that all three kids have done so well, have matured so beautifully and own themselves as themselves. It's fantastic.
They're good people, right?
Absolutely. Right. No question about it. Sandy, we have an email and thank you to Annie in Tampa. She says, I love your show and the advice you give, but I'm too shy to call. Well, I can understand that. Thanks for making email available. Here's what I'm nervous about. My daughter is about ready to graduate from college, and she hasn't been able to find a job. It looks like she's going to have to come live with us until she gets one, and even then I don't know how long it will be until she can afford to get an apartment. I feel that I can't not open our home to her, but I'm concerned about how to set boundaries. During her summer vacations at home, she keeps really late hours and doesn't participate in any of the household chores. And then I find myself getting reactive with her and her getting reactive with me. What is the best way for me to handle this? Wow, what a timely subject that is with
exactly.
Kids going out of school these days.
Annie, I hear your pain, Annie. The biggest thing is the word that you said. It's boundaries. And remember, boundaries are not about the other person. They're actually about ourselves. So if we don't set a healthy boundary with somebody else, it's really because we're not setting a healthy boundary with ourselves. So this place of having a daughter come back, and in today's world and economic conditions, a lot of students end up coming back home, as we all know, and that can be a little traumatic for everybody. So the part that you have a two-part program from my perspective, Annie, and one is to make sure that you're treating your daughter when she comes back into the house like an adult, so that you don't try to treat her like a 16-year-old who should get up out of bed at a certain hour and go to school. At the same time, if she's an adult, it's like having a border in your house. That I don't mean for that to sound cold. We know there's family and there's love there. But as far as the pragmatics of it, if you can get that picture, if I had rented a room to somebody, what would the agreements be? And so the agreements, because if you could get that awareness, then the agreements that you would have with your daughter would be to preset, hey, instead of rent, here's the way that let's see if we can handle it this way. Bring her into it. Don't just hand her a list of here are the expectations, but to be able to sit down and talk with her so that you both come together as adults, being able to say, hey, I know that you're an adult. I know that you have certain ways you like to do things, and yet you are blending back into our home, and here's what I need from you. Here's what I would like to see happen. See if she's willing to accommodate those things, like if you're going to have dinners together, who's going to do the grocery shopping, making sure that the laundry is done, not leaving things, personal items, in a shared space like the living room. We don't leave shoes and clothes hanging around. So whatever those things would be, that you make sure that you don't treat her like a high schooler or a middle schooler, and you're making sure she has breakfast every day, but she doesn't get to leave the dishes in a sink unless she's got her own little living space. And for most of us, that isn't how it works. So it needs to accommodate how you like to handle your house and still leave her room to say, hey, that works for me or that doesn't work for me. And if it doesn't work for her, something that is important to you, find the common ground. But on this one, because you are the owner of the house, you have the trump card. You have to express that trump card, though, without turning into the parent talking to a child.
Wow, it's kind of a reverse about what we were talking about before, that the child coming home is now the blendee. and having to adjust themselves to this environment that has an old ring to it because they grew up there, but now it's a totally new set of circumstances. What do you think about expectations expressed or unexpressed regarding the young adults seeking employment or seeking something effective to do? How can that be communicated in such a way that doesn't become a point of contention?
Well, I think it has to be the agreement up front, and that if you're going to come home for a visit, that's one thing. If you're going to come home and reestablish residency, what do the adults in the home do? All the other adults, the parents, have specific jobs. Even if it doesn't matter, even if one of them is a stay-at-home person, that person is managing a household, is taking care of a great deal of details, and another person is perhaps the one who is the breadwinner, or maybe we have both parents as the literal breadwinners. There is an equal exchange of responsibilities. So the idea of having a child coming home and lounging and not actually getting a job, that would not be part of my boundary. my personal boundary would be, if you are here, not as a visitor, but a resident, if you are here as a resident, then you, part of my agreement in letting you be a resident here is that you have to either be in school or be working. There is no in between. And so if you're working, part of my explanation of what that means to me would include that when you don't have a job, your job is to get a job, which means if you're sleeping till noon, you're not doing your job. If I have responsibilities that don't let me sleep till noon, I'm not going to be too comfortable with you sleeping till noon. So that 5 days a week, you have to set up your hours. This is actually how I started my practice 37 or so years ago. And that is, I would set my hours, whether I had a client or not. And if this was before we had computers the way we have today. So if whatever I did, if it was between 9 and 6, those were my work hours. And whatever I did in those hours had to apply to my business. And if all I could think to do that could apply to my business was to go to the library and read on my subject of personal growth, personal transformation, psychology, how they all come together, exploration of inner space, and how we express that into our world, I just made myself constantly be interactive with my subject during those hours and be creative about how to expand and create a network and be a magnet, be able to draw people in. When I started, I think I had one paying client once a week. And I did this religiously, but in less than 6 months, I had a full practice because I went to work. So I have a strong work ethic, and there are places where I think that we should bend and be flexible. And I think there are many places where we do a disservice to our adult children when we want to say they're there and pat them on the head like they're a pet. That dishonors them and it dishonors us because we're not holding our own boundary. So there you have that part.
So true. And there's more too. So
exactly. We have more to say on this subject, by the way. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Sandy Brewer Show. We will be right back.
If you are looking for a book that will inspire you, one that will help you smooth out those bumps in the road of your life, one that will give you practical tools for meeting everyday life challenges, then you'll want to get your own copy of Sandy Brewer's award-winning memoir, Pursuit of Light. It is so compelling, you won't want to put it down. Order today and get a free gift of her audio series, 6 Steps to Mastering the Art of Healing, by placing your order today at sandybrewer.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by.
These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio and then all of a sudden their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us
that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, and experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of call-in talk radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been-there, done-that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for The Sandy Brewer Show.
Hi, and welcome back to the Sandy Brewer Show. We are delighted to have you with us today and to be with you.
Sandy, one of the questions I had as a follow-up to the email, you have this adult child coming back to live at home temporarily, looking for a job. Imminently.
Every parent goes fingers crossed, right?
One of their greatest fears. But you talked about boundaries, and what I was thinking about was, does it also make sense to clarify ahead of time, good, you're going to get a job, and because you're eventually going to be going out to renting a place, you're going to need to get used to paying rent. And so as you're working, you have a responsibility not only to be part of the household, but you also have a responsibility to pay rent. Is that an unreasonable thing to do? And how do you go about that?
Well, I think it depends on one's circumstances, because if you as a parent, whoever the parent is, you know, really having to watch your own pennies or you don't have a lot of extra financially, I think once your child is your adult child is established with work, for them to contribute to the household expenses via paying rent, I think that's a totally fair thing. If you are fortunate and blessed enough to not need that extra income right away, the principle is still a good one, that you can say to the child, I want to support you in being able to establish yourself. And in that process, it means that instead of paying me rent, that let's get an agreed upon sum once the job is there, that the child, adult child, agrees to put aside every month so that he or she can build toward that independence, and also gets used to that place of having to be financially responsible. So I think that it can work either way. I think it's a really, really good point, John, so thank you. And that based on what the parent's circumstances are, you can adjust how you help the child stand on their own two feet. But again, having a boundary that says you're living here as an adult. You're not living here as a child anymore. That's the hard place. But if I'm going to allow my child to come back, my adult child, to come back home and acknowledge that I am allowing him or her to come back home as an adult child, then I can't be the mother of a teenager. I have to be the mother of an adult child. And that's where we as the parental figures or units have to hold ourselves accountable, because we are responsible for not getting into manipulation, triangulation, all the things, anger, all the things that are much more about a parent-child relationship than about an adult relationship, because at this point we're still the parent wanting to help, but we have to treat our offspring as the adults that they are. And then the issue isn't about getting angry. The issue is about choosing to be responsible for our own reactions and setting the boundaries. And that's what makes the huge difference.
I see it's easy to slip into the old role as a parent rather than as an adult. And that just sabotages so many things, getting back into that role, especially if as a parent, you had particular opinions on how things should or shouldn't be done.
And that's where communication comes in. So we have to communicate, but to get used to the idea of this kid that I held as an infant or whenever one came into the picture, that this little kid I now have to sit down and talk to like they're a 22 or 23-year-old adult. So being able to talk to them like I would a good friend, trying to work out a problem, be able to talk evenly. That's personal responsibility, taking charge and conscious charge of our own adulthood, that I talk to my adult child as an adult, that I don't slip into the role of a parent, that I really say, you know, we got a problem here. I want to be able to talk with you, invite that other person into the resolution. How can we handle that? And then if the child goes into the child instead of the adult child, we don't meet them there. That's meeting somebody at the lowest common denominator. You don't, just because the child starts to get reactive, it's not an excuse for the parent to join them. We have to say, you know, I'm not doing that dance with you. It's not about that. It's about, this is an adult world that we're living in. I want to solve the problem with you. We have to find common ground if it's going to work. And that I think is the bottom line in learning how to communicate. As we all know, everything about, not everything, but most things about communication have to do with the tone. We can say almost anything if we keep our tone even and non-aggressive. We risk actually getting the job done if we do that. So I think that's a really good thing. And I think the consciousness of choice, that we need to know that there's a consciousness that we're building on, that it isn't about life is doing something to us, or our kid is doing something to us, or a circumstance is doing something to us. I think there's this place where we have to live this greater truth. It's our responsibility to know so deeply what is really, really in our hearts and how to make that choice for personal responsibility. I know I'm going to read this real fast, but it's from Pursuit of Light about the consciousness of choice. And here's what I said in Pursuit of Light. My mother, bless her pickled little, and we are talking small and pickled heart, made a choice when I was only 2 years old that altered my life. She decided that I was the enemy, and from that point on, campaigned hard for my failure. As a personality, she was truly awful and suffered no conscience about sacrificing anyone weaker than she who got in her way. For a long time, who she was and how she was got in my way. Then as I grew older and mercifully wiser, I began to consider the possibility of inner healing, even for me. I started to contemplate choice. What if it wasn't dumb luck or lack of luck that landed me in my mother's womb? What if some part of my being or soul had also chosen her? And then I thought, what were the odds? My mother and a stupid soul. But you know what it did? It got me to understanding that it's my choice what I do with it. So I was being facetious about a stupid soul, because as a personality, sometimes the opportunities for wisdom that comes our way, they don't look or feel like opportunities, but there is such deep light on the other side if we'll just stay personally responsible for our own reactions, whether I'm talking to an adult child. If I get reactive before I take that in, out for a spin, it's my job to slow it down and come back into what is unhealed inside of my heart that keeps me from speaking with kindness, even if I disagree, that keeps me from speaking with patience and with clarity, even if I disagree. Clarity empowers. There's a consciousness of choice that we have to maintain. It's what made the huge difference in my life. It's what I write about in Pursuit of Light, but it's what we try to live every day.
Thanks, Sandy, for sharing that. And thanks to all of you for joining us today, and to our caller and emailer for joining in the conversation with us on the Sandy Brewer Show. We are here to take your questions for Sandy to get to the heart of what matters in your life. Our phone lines are always open, and no subject is off limits. So we invite you to turn on, tune in, and listen, and call in with your questions or email them to sandy@sandybrewershow.com. The Sandy Brewer Show airs every Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the web at Transformation Talk Radio and Stereo 1230 AM WBLQ in Westerly, Rhode Island. We invite you to be inspired as you receive your free inspirational thought each week from Sandy. Simply go to sandybrewer.com to sign up. You'll enjoy receiving them and sharing them with your friends, too. A special thanks to our fantastic engineer today, Brian. May you all have a fantastic week.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio. A higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.